Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Well, it's a new phase of the Suspendables. Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim coming at you with Russ Cortinel in a different part of the world. We hear enough about it. We get sick of hearing it, but it's really because we're jealous. And you are, Rusty, you're in Gaza now for the rest of the summer. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I left Sherwood yesterday at 9:30 a.m.
Right.
And I got here at about noon the next following day.
I looked it up. So you holiday, but you work too in Idaho and Coeur d'Alene, just outside of Coeur d'Alene. And is Gaza the name of the development or is that the town?
No, the town is Harrison, Idaho.
Okay.
And Gaza Ranch is the community. Used to be a guy at Gaza owned the ranch and they bought it from him and developed it.
Cool. So I looked it up yesterday because you're driving.
Yeah.
I gave it to Siri. My girlfriend, Siri, who's back talking to me. Siri, how far L.A. to Coeur d'Alene is what I put in there. 2,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's...
I was cooking.
Yeah. If you can drive an average of 100 kilometers, which you probably can't because you're going through... I don't know if it's an interstate shot all the way, but that's like 20 straight hours of driving.
19. It was 19 hours, and I put my timer on my car just so I could... see if Waze app was accurate, and it was within 2 minutes.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
And I stopped for gas. I hit In-N-Out Burger before I left the state, but I went through. You know, it's interesting. I hit Waze, and I put in the address of Gaza, and I just follow it.
Old GPS. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hit. I had to hit In-N-Out Burger. At about 11:30, so 2 hours in, I'm already stopping for some food.
Right,
and then I proceeded to smoke 4 cigars.
Sure, the dessert after a burger.
and then I ended up. So I went California.
Yeah,
I went through Nevada.
Yeah, nice.
And then through Oregon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Through a little bit of Idaho, because Idaho dips down, then into Washington, back into Idaho. That's how Waze took me. And I drove till midnight, and then I slept for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And then got up this morning, hit Starbucks, and had 5 hours, and
there you
it
go.
Was easy.
I've done that. I've done the Google Maps thing without looking at it twice, because maybe I got to go to the... You know, a place in Saskatchewan, for example, you know, they're all small towns and I'll be going to do a gig and there's a million different ways to get there. And so I'll launch out because I'm going to, Estevan, Saskatchewan, for example. And so I plug it in there and then I just fire off like you did. And I'm going, this doesn't seem like the right way, you know? And sure enough, I look and it's like you got 48 hours to go. Yeah. It's in South America.
You know, it's just when I got nervous when it said no service, and then I'm out in the middle of frickin' wherever in the mountains of the Sierras.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if I miss it? And I end up in, the next state.
Yeah.
But you know what? It felt like Jimmy for a day.
It felt like
Jim Jerome for a day.
Oh, how so, Russ?
Well, I was chain smoking and I didn't drink.
Isn't that nice? You see, welcome to my world, Rusty. Fuck. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Drank about 42 waters and smoked 4 cigars, and then I'm looking at the cigars like I had them under my seat, and I'm like, I have these Ziploc bags, and my car is full of stuff, right? So I got to pack up for the for the summer. And I got a, I actually brought my my road bike that I haven't ridden in freaking years, but I thought, I, you know, maybe I'll ride it.
Yeah.
So I've got that going. I got my golf club. So got everything for the summer. So I'm gone for 4 months. So the car's fairly full.
Right. Right.
And I'm, and on the fifth cigar, I'm like, no, you can't do five. Had no problem with the first four.
Yeah. Do you inhale those cigars?
No, of course not.
Oh, I can. I can inhale them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course you could.
I was never a cigar smoker, but I did do some trips, and I don't like when you're doing those long trips, Russ. Is the like after a while, man, when they're so fucking long, it's like, or do you start to play games with yourself? Are you looking at the speedometer? Are you resetting the odometer? Or all this shit?
No, like, I'm on the cell phone.
Oh, of course.
I start calling people. I'm like random dialing friends. Like they haven't heard from me in months, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, are you busy? Half hour later, and they're like, I've actually got to go out for dinner. My kid's graduation's tonight. Or
yeah, hang up, please, Russ. Yeah.
I have one more question.
Yeah. In-N-Out Burger, for our listeners outside of the States, is kind of the go-to fast food burger joint. Crazy franchise, Russ. I've been there because you were telling me about it years ago. You got to In-N-Out. You got to go to In-N-Out. And so I took my kids there. We went to Phoenix. And it's like nothing special, but fuck, is it ever good, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
You could feed your family for about $20.
Yeah, no, it's great. And now that I'm gluten-free, I do it the protein style, so I have the lettuce bun.
You're not gluten-free. You're not doing that.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. No, you're not. You're not going
year
gluten-free.
Year and a half, I think.
No, you're not doing that. So we got you safe and sound, Rusty. What are you going to do now that you're not driving? You know? I'll tell you what, you know, I'm sure in your career, we've talked about it a couple of times, you've probably misplayed a few times, you know, you talked about regrets of shit that you did or bad plays in hockey. You've never missed a play here with the White Claw. Never.
I try.
First liner, first round pick, all the way.
Consistent.
So anyway, you're settled in for the summer. You may hear a bit of a lisp, Russ, because I got all my teeth ripped out the other day.
All seven?
Well, five of them. Okay, and I thought it was tough, you know. And
I lost the over under.
Yeah, you did.
I thought you had seven, so you only had five.
Anyway, I got that done. So they put in so I'm getting a bunch of work done, and they put in this plate, and this partial temporary one till I get the full time one, and. I broke all the rules, Rusty. Okay, I broke all the rules.
God.
You're supposed to, you know, because your gums and shit got to heal. The big one, Russ, no smoking.
Oh, God. Good luck. You got a better chance of seeing God than you not smoking.
I know. And and I said, you know, I'm redoing my house, Russ. You know, I painted my house and now I'm renovating. And I said I wouldn't freaking smoke in my house.
Yeah.
And I don't until it comes time to sit down and go through this hour with you.
Yeah. So anyway. Now the rice paper white paint that you used on the walls, you're now looking at a yellow hoon or whatever you call that.
That's what I told the first people. I'm pretty sure I'm going to put my house up for sale. Markets oddly enough.
Smoker good. Needed.
Yeah, smoker needed. Beautiful canary yellow paint job.
Yeah,
you know, on the thing. Anyway, I went and smoked.
I have a listing available in Edmonton. It's a one bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Not been lived in or used that often.
Yeah.
Single person, heavy smoker, never had sex in this apartment.
It's a virgin townhouse. Okay. at least with anyone else.
Jesus. So when you mentioned you went in to get work done. Well, we could talk about a few other things other than your teeth.
What?
Well, you know.
Listen, pal, I need a facelift or something?
No. Just whatever you want. Nose.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I got the bad nose. I do. You had to bring that up, huh? You had to bring that up. Well, because it looks like I went.
No, you're a beautiful man. I love you.
I love
you. We just got to find somebody else who does.
You know. Anyway, so I went ahead. I got all these big open freaking pockets, you know, with my teeth. In fact, they were in there so deep they had to stitch them.
We call those gaps.
Gaps. And anyway, I smoked. And then you end up with what they call. It's like
dry
socket, man. Oh. And oh, my God. I couldn't even do the show. We were supposed to do it a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So. You ever had your teeth knocked out, Russ? Do you have all yours or what?
Yeah. Paul Kariya knocked two of my teeth out. The only, the only two I lost in hockey. Third one I lost eating corn.
Well, cooking.
Corn on the cob. How does a hockey player lose his freaking tooth eating corn on the cob?
That is the funniest thing.
Well, I'm only admitting it now because people said, "Do you ever lose any teeth?" Oh, yeah, I lost a tooth.
Right.
But I didn't tell him it was eating corn on the cob.
You know, I knew, you know, I said, I can't tell Russ. Russ is, you know, he's hurtful, really, when I tell him things about me and I'm going to get harmed, and I can rip with anybody, you know. I said, I don't want to phone Russ and tell him I got a toothache, you know. Anyway, I said, he must have had this because I texted you, said, Russ, you won't believe this. I had five teeth pulled and got stitches and shit, and I got this dry socket. And I had the most sympathetic text ever from you going, oh, pal, yeah, look after yourself, you know. Anyway, it's you think you're tough until, so anyway.
Yeah, it sucks.
Anyway, yeah. So you had teeth knocked out, and you lost a hockey player,
Paul Kariya,
and then eating corn, you lost the tooth.
Yeah, Paul Kariya, my 15th year in the NHL, I knocked out my front two, or he knocked out my front two teeth by accident, but knocked them out. And
getting teeth knocked out.
Oh, fuck, it hurt. I had 18 stitches in my lip.
Oh no!
And the teeth went right through my mouth guard. I lost I lost one completely, and the other one, I lost half of the other. So it was during the, right before the 98 Olympics, Nagano Olympics, and we had this trip planned to Maui. So I'm sure I've talked about this on the show. And so there's a bunch of hockey players. We all go during the Olympics and hang out with Brandy Morton, our friend over in Maui. And I loved it because I had one tooth missing, the other one, half of it, and a cigar fit perfectly in my mouth. And I didn't have to, I was sitting there like squeezing this thing, smoking a cigar. Right. And then Paris finally said, okay, can you go get your teeth fixed? Because, you know, these pictures are just fucking awful of you. We're in Maui here, sunset, you know, da, 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 and then I'd smile and have no teeth.
Looking like a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Did you, and you had a mouth guard in. You still lost teeth. Jesus.
Yeah, the guy, the dentist said if I didn't have the mouth guard in, I would have lost all of them, like the top, I don't know, eight or something.
Every hockey player loses teeth. How come, Russ, I see them sometimes looking for it, like a tooth gets knocked out, and I see some of the guys looking for it on the ice going, You can't save a tooth.
No, those are caps. So they're looking for their caps. So they've already lost a tooth. Now they've got a new tooth knocked out. And if you can find the cap, they just stick it back in.
Gotcha. They're, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because the original tooth will just shatter.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're done. You can't.
Yeah.
I was an idiot and brought mine to the dentist, you know, and the tooth fell out. He's like, what is this? Well, I brought it in. It fell out. He goes, fuck, dude.
It's dead. We're in Montreal, and Brian Scrutland lost his tooth, so he went in to get it fixed.
Yeah.
And the dentist was a funny guy. So he replaces it, and it was like twice as long as the other tooth. And he brings the mirror over, and he goes, so what do you think? Oh my God, it was so funny when he came back and told that story. I wish we were all in the dentist's office when he did it.
Yeah, it's like you know, guys, there's always a hook, right? It's probably like, hey, I got a cheap dentist or a guy who did the work right away, and you know, and then you end up with something like that. And I was always reminded of a Marty McSorley when he was here playing. He says, you got to go to this guy to get a suit made. Okay, I said, I can't afford that. He goes, no, pal, I'm telling you, it's like 20% of the full cost. And I said, okay, I'll do that. You know, and
it's
I go in there 20% and
Marty, off.
No, no, 80% off. Okay? 20% of the cost. And I'll do the math, Russ. Okay. And
oh my God.
I go in there and Marty's in there and he's picking up his suit. And he's like, hey Jimmy, huh? Check it. And he puts the suit on and the sleeves come up to his fucking elbows, right? It's like a sitcom, you know.
Shit. Pay the other 80% and you get the suit.
Yeah. You might have to buck up a little more.
Yeah, the alterations are $1,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, on the show today, I got a bunch of stuff. You know, I make notes sort of during the week, and I had some notes here about one of the topics over the last 10 days or so was whether college kids should start to get paid. You know, so hockey's going to start up, Russ. We started talking about it last week. And then, of course, this awful, awful incident happened in the States. George Floyd, everyone knows by now, was a guy got stopped by the cops for doing some sort of fraudulent check writing. And if you haven't seen the video of it, I suspect you probably have, but there were policemen held him, one guy in particular, held him face down, handcuffed, hands behind his back, had his knee across the guy's neck, as I'll take you through this video, and the guy was pleading for his life.
Yeah.
And fully secured here. The guy was going nowhere. There were a few policemen standing around, sort of pacing, looking at it, and this cop was looking up. And the guy died. The guy died from it. And, you know, the fallout from it is out of control right now. Mm-hmm. There's chaos going on in the world, particularly in the States. And it's just, for me, Rusty, the thing was beyond, you know, of course, it has this outcry from the public now about racism and police brutality and social injustice and on mm-hmm. and on and on. And for me, when I looked at that thing, Russ, it's way bigger than a guy being racist. It is the most grotesque thing I've ever seen, caught on camera by some bystander girl who was there. And I thought, what is going on here? It's just awful. It's just absolutely awful. And you saw it, Russ.
Yeah, it's terrible. And we're living it. You know, I'm married to a black girl and have mixed kids. And then Eric and Allie live in Minnesota where this happened, like right, you know,
of course.
All this is going on in their city that they, you know, he plays in. There's so many things that we're feeling, and I don't even know where to start, but I think the what's happened, there's two things that are happening. There is the people that have had it and they want change, and they're respectfully protesting. And then there's a group of criminals and thugs that are creating all this violence and stealing and all this stuff that is just, they have hijacked what people are trying to stop and change, and their message and they're making it worse. And so people are angry on both. Somebody said on both sides. I don't even what side. You know, you've got these gangs of kids, and not kids, these young adults that are.
Kids too. There's been some.
Yeah,
kids
the
out
kids,
there,
yeah. But they're organized and they're thugs, and they're ruining what these peaceful protesters are trying to talk about. And Paris, you know, we went to Davos, Switzerland, and I coached their Team Canada. And she went on a train with all the wives and, you know, members, family members, and they went to some town, very wealthy town in Switzerland, and they didn't fucking let her in the store. And no, they did not. And she brought it up. She goes, you know what? I live this all the time. And I don't, I suck it up and I brush it off. And she goes, you know what? I'm done. We were at a party at our club and this lady came up to her who we know. And she's like, well, you know, there was two African gentlemen, or there was two African men that looked totally out of place and they were in the neighborhood. And, you know, there's been some crimes and stuff. And she, you know, the shit goes on. And we're, you know, as a father of three children that are mixed, my son was shaking a hand of another boy at 12 years of age in San Jose. This kid played for the San Jose Sharks junior team, mixed up of five or six Asian kids, and the rest were white, and the kid called him the N-word, shaking his hand in the fucking lineup after the game.
Wow, I've and your never, son's not that old, so that can't be that long ago.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Wow.
And I've never, ever, actually, it might have been when he was 10 years ago, when he was, no, it would have been, shit. Anyways, it was 10 or, I can't remember exactly when, but it was, it was not, you know, 10 years ago, call it. I've never seen tears from a person. It was heartbreaking. My son's, he had crocodile tears. And they had a game. I mean, they played this game and this kid waited, he didn't do it in the heat of the battle in the fucking corner. Mm-hmm. He waited till he could stick his freaking hand out, look him in the eye and call him the N-word. You know what? We need to freaking change the way we think. And it starts at home, and these parents who've taught their children to be racist, shame on them, but we've got to break it. And we've got to break it now. People are people, and it doesn't matter what color skin you have. You need to treat people like human beings and end this freaking, you know, that person. Like my neighbor, the black guy who's my neighbor, or the Asian guy who's my neighbor. Who fucking cares?
Right.
How about
right.
Mike, my neighbor, and Bob, my neighbor? It's a freaking joke, and it's gone on. And this didn't happen last week in Minnesota. This has been going on for years. Paris's grandmother grew up on a slave farm on a plantation. She was born in 1903, and I got to sit with her after dinner. She died when she was 98, 3 weeks shy of her 99th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about Gretzky. Gretz was going to be the host and at her birthday party, and unfortunately she didn't make it for her 99th birthday. And Sarah Vaughan, who sang in the White House, and they couldn't find her. She sang for Johnson, and he was looking for her and couldn't find her, and his secretary found her, and she was crying in her changing room, some frickin' made-up office, and they asked her, Sarah, what's wrong? And she said, the first time I sang in Washington, I had to go, I sang at a hotel and I had to go through the back door and go out the back door. Mm-hmm. And I just danced with the president of the United States and sang for him. And so the emotions of these, you know, these frickin' people that are mm-hmm. part of our country, our society, and our friends and family. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting that this guy, piece of shit frickin' officer. And we all know
most Derek Chauvin, by the way, is his name.
But there's so many great police officers and women in both countries and around the world, and it takes a few of them to ruin it for everyone. Just, you know, they call it the bad apples.
Right.
And now we're at this point where, okay, everyone's had it, right? But then there's this frickin' other group that are burning down buildings and stealing, and then it's horrible. It's just disgusting what's going on, because people want change. And then mm-hmm. Paris sent me a video of two white girls spray painting a Starbucks in LA saying Black Lives Matter. And this black woman goes up to them and says, stop that. That's not what we're out here to do. We're out here protesting. We do not want to do that, because that comes back on us. And so they're getting hijacked. And there are, you know, there are people out there that are taking advantage. Organizations that are, they're having bricks. Have you heard about this? They're dropping off bricks on corners of streets, and they're throwing them through the freaking windows of these businesses and then burning them down, stealing everything and then burning them down.
Right.
And it, and it's just crazy. Sorry, I'm ranting, but
I want you to go on.
You know, my family faces it all the time. My wife, Lawton, probably looks more ethnic than the girls. And then Allie in Brooklyn, who look more white, they're around people that are freaking racist because, and they're saying shit because they don't know they're black or half black or whatever you want to say there.
Right.
And so they're like, oh my God, my, you know, this person is sending this message and they didn't, they don't even know, you know, who their parents are. I played golf with this music, this guy in the music business, and he threw out the N-bomb. And I go, do you know that my mother-in-law is Sarah Vaughan? He was in the music business. And I'm playing with a guy, Sterling Ball, who makes Ernie Ball strings for guitars.
Right.
And it was his guest. And the guy was in the music business, and he starts throwing out the N-bomb. And I went, hey, asshole, do you know who my mother-in-law is? And he goes, no. And I go, Sarah Vaughan. And I go, and my wife is Paris. And you know what? I wish I had done, which I didn't, was I should have walked off the golf course. And I freaking finished the last two holes with him. But this guy was a complete fucking asshole. And people need to, you know what? People need to freaking wake up and change and show compassion for other people, because this shit is like way overdue.
Right. You know, it's hard. It's hard to comment. I'm outside of your position because you are married to Paris, and you know, and your kids are mixed race, and so it's easy, you know, to, you know, we got a comment on this thing, and when I thought about the show, you know, there's you know, celebrities are coming forward, from Michael Jordan to there's a story by Doc Rivers there, the head coach of the L.A. Clippers. You know, this guy talks about his house being burned down because of racism. This is today in 2020. Mm-hmm. But I'm not black, you know, and so I don't know. You know, I don't know that when you know, this stuff where you hear where it's directed right at you, this story you told about Paris being over in Europe and your son experiencing it. And one of it to me, when I hear it, Russ, it's like completely scary that it's as big as it was back to when you talked about your wife's grandmother, you know, who, you know, just shortly out of slavery, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know it directly, but I do know the stories about it. And it's just frightening that this thing is back in the 1800s, you know? What do we do, Russ? You know, like, what does happen out of this backfires on the racist cause, when there's no defense, Russ, in my mind. There's no defense against gangster mentality, against mafioso type stuff, you know, where what happens to this is go, okay, no problem, we're going to burn the city down. And to me, Russ, yes, this social injustice stuff and racism is alive and well, to use a terrible expression, you know, that we got to fix it. But I think, Russ, they're going to have to. I know the governor of Minnesota is saying, look, we don't have the manpower. We don't have the people to control what's going on here right now. And they're ignoring the curfew and stuff like that. Russ, I think they're going to have to really hammer some of these people who have been rioting because they got no choice, Russ, right? They're going to say, okay, look, we want to handle this thing. We want to gather together. This is a galvanizing thing that it's going to be about this terrible man, Derek Chauvin, who did this thing. But if we go to this extent, we got nowhere to go. There's nothing we can do if the answer all the time is, okay, I'm gonna go riot and I'm gonna burn buildings and I'm gonna kill someone, you know, whether intentionally or not, you know. So I think, Russ, they're going to have to hand down. They're going to find some of these people who are caught on video from this riding, and they're going to have to hand down some really stiff jail time.
It was interesting today. So I was listening to the news all the way up here and just following what was going on. And one guy came on, I don't know his name, and he said, I led a lot of marches and protests. And what they used to do, or what they do, is they meet and they say, if you're acting out, then you're going to deal with these guys. And there was a group of them, and they would be in their protest in the group. And you have to act a certain way. And if you act out, we're going to take care of you, or we're going to have the police take care of you. And so what he was suggesting is that the protesters, when they see something, because there's police everywhere when they're protesting, they need to almost, you know, tell on them and say, look, that person's not with us, and right. they threw a rock, and that's not what we're about. And so he was saying self-policing the protest. And what's happening is these organized terrorists are coming in and joining these protests, and then they're looting, they're burning, and they're doing what they want to do. Whether they're on the far right or on the far left, they're there to make it worse for the people who are protesting. And so the message unfortunately, the message is getting lost because of what these criminals are doing. And they're thugs, and they're cowards, and they're smashing buildings down. Do you see that one story of that lady who had nothing to do with the store in Santa Monica was trying to like stop them from hammering, breaking the glass, and she stood there and stood there and stood there, and she had nothing to gain. She didn't own the business. She was just like, this isn't right. Don't do it. And then eventually they won and smashed in the window and stole all the bikes. And it's organized crime. They need to find a way to arrest, like you said, they've got to take a hard line and take these people and take them away and make sure it never happens again. Whoever's funding them needs to go away to jail. And these people who are doing this need to go away to jail. And it should not happen, because we can't have lawless, we can't live in a lawless society. It is terrible. I was just sitting with Brendan Morrow, lives in Dallas, Doug Wall, Dr. Stafford, who lives here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Barrett Jackman, lives in St. Louis, Howard Smith, who lives in, Howard lives in whichever house he decides, but we're all from living in different parts of the United States and comparing stories. And these thugs are talking about going into the suburbs now and starting to raid homes. And they do. Yeah. Apparently they don't believe in people having ownership of property or something like this. So they think they can just do whatever. And they were in Dallas today or yesterday. Joan Nieuwendyk's wife got robbed at daylight at the getting gas at a gas station in Dallas. And people are watching on TV going, you know what? You can do whatever the hell you want, because there's not enough police, or the police aren't doing enough. Mm-hmm. And so people who have a criminal mind are like, oh my God, this is nirvana. I can just do whatever the hell I want.
It's like Woodstock, you know?
So yeah. Let's smoke dope because nobody cares, or whatever they were doing. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, no, yeah, I should have been. Here's what I heard at a confectionery that I popped into after this happened. And the guy was watching video of it behind, and clearly this guy is a racist after I heard what he said. And he's watching this video of the looting and the gang activity of, you know, what they're doing and busting stuff down and burning vehicles. And this sort of shows where this thing can exacerbate. And this guy goes, "Well, look what's happening. Look at all the black people now. Look what they're doing, yeah. right during this rioting." And I'm like, "Dude, you know, I just grabbed my smokes and fucked off." But that's what happens with racist people. They're going to be more racist because of this, you know. And you know, I look at Russ, the social injustice movement.
You know what it does, though? It justifies their racism.
I guess, you know, I guess
racist people. It's funny that kids, they, you know, we have three children.
Yeah.
When they were little babies and toddlers and stuff, they had two parents. They had, you know, one was black, one was like white, and they have no clue what's going on in the world. Racism is taught. You're not born a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sad that person in the store, somebody taught him and now he's teaching others, and the cycle has to be broken. And, racism is, you know, looking down upon people. I have friends, I've talked about this on the show, I have friends from all over and all walks of life and economically at different, you know, everybody's different.
Right.
I don't hang out with just rich people. I don't hang out with just poor people. I don't hang out with I hang out with people. And my brother always, he said to me, "God, why do you have, you know, you have so many friends or you have so many people here?" And I always used to, my standard answer is I'll only hang out with a dick once, because you gotta find out if they're an asshole or not. And once you know they're an asshole, then you freaking don't hang out with them again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you give people a chance, you'll have a lot of friends in your life,
right?
And you'll have a lot of acquaintances in your life. But if you just go, "Okay, I only hang out with that type of person,"
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. "that type of person," you're gonna be freaking awfully lonely.
Yeah.
Are we getting too heavy in the show?
No. It has to be talked about, right? We have an obligation to talk about it. We're broadcasting, and I really do. You know that think this is how it gets. This is how the word gets out. You know. You bring up an interesting thing about it's taught. You know, racism's taught, and I have a couple of examples. I battled with drugs and booze for almost my whole life, you know, and I didn't get clean and sober till I was 48. Along that way, though, Russ, I spent a lot of time in a lot of counselors' offices and therapy and trying to get out of that dark hole. And all of those guys, you know, they want to talk about your past. They want to talk about your childhood. They want to see if there's a cause, you know, for what leads us astray and takes us to those dark places and ends up abusing substances. And all of them, 100% of them said, whether you like it or not, is every single person aligns themselves with their parents. Okay. It's just the way it is. It's been like that forever. And that's how your life is going to be valued. You know, that's how you're going to do things. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad parenting out there, and that causes a lot of this stuff. Just this point you brought up, you know, this repeat chain of molestation or alcoholism, you know, or guys who live in the gang life, you know, their fathers did and all that stuff. So he made the point that you're gonna act the way your parents do, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a story that I've told several times in Ottawa. You know, there were kids robbing kids lunch money on a bus route, okay, on a city bus route, and to the point where they had to cancel the bus route, you know. But they got on there and they started nabbing some of these kids. So they would just 5-6 kids would surround and, you know, and bully a kid and say, "Give me your $5, you know. And they caught up with one of these kids. The cops did. And speaking of great cops, and they took the kid, they went to his house. Okay, they didn't take him. They didn't arrest him. They didn't take him down there. They did the right thing, they thought, and went to, we're going to go talk to your parents. And they talked about this story saying, the kid sort of went, "No problem. You know, like if a cop pulled me over and said, I'm taking you to your mom and dad to talk about this, I'd be shitting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd go, look at, take me to jail. Take me to jail. Do not bring me to my folks. And, you know, and this kid was like, let's do it, pal. And the cops, you know, the guy was a friend of mine who did it. And he brings him to the house. The father opens the door with the, you know, two policemen and the son. He's going, oh my God, what's up? You know? And the cop explains to him, listen, we've caught your son. He was stealing money off another kid, you know, on the bus. And there's a pause. And the father goes, well, how much money was it? You know? And the cop said, not sure that's the point of what we're doing here, sir. You know, and he said it was like $5. And the father grabbed his son, pulled him inside and went, don't fucking bother me, and shut the door. You know, and they see more and more of that, you know. You know, Russ, you know what, Russ? I got a question for you, Russ, because we talked about this. How does it make Colin Kaepernick look now that when this guy, remember you and I both said,
yeah,
this is terrible. I remember you had a great take, I thought, when you said, if I was the owner of that team, go, no problem, but you're not doing this on my ground here. You know, you're not going to be such a distraction. And I agreed with you. And now I look at it going, this kudos to this guy, you know, that it's a peaceful way, whether you agree with him or not. But look what happens when it's violent, you know. And what do you think about that now?
So I thought about that because that's what I said. And Eric, Allie's boyfriend, Eric Kendricks, plays for the Minnesota Vikings, and Anthony Barr and Ewald and the other guys that I've met on the team. You know, I said I was really proud of them when they stood during the anthem because I was brought up that way, don't disrespect the anthem. But you know what, this message now, that what we've seen, if they chose to kneel after what this guy, you know, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds kneeled and took this guy's life away by kneeling on his neck, and they all decided to kneel, I would have no problem with it.
Right.
And it's contradicting everything I said, but after this guy murdering this, you know, person who was handcuffed. So right. My son asked me 2 nights ago, he said, Dad, I'm going to lay down on the ground and put my hands behind my back and I want you to kneel on my neck. And Jesus. I did it for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And he's 6 feet, 205 pounds, and he's ripped and chipped. He's super fit, and he couldn't handle it for like if I, you know, he was like scream, he was like, oh my God, get off me, get off me, get off me. And I didn't do it like that guy did it, but he was panicking, and he's a fit 24-year-old kid.
Right.
And so now I've, you know, if they don't handle this, they haven't handled it correctly. And if they now change, it looks like they're going to change all the charges, and they've found out that they're finding out that they lied and all this stuff. I mean, these guys, the three other guys that watched him, can you imagine your friend beating somebody up and then standing on them on the ground or sitting on them or whatever on the ground, the guy's pleading like, okay, I can't breathe.
Right.
And you don't go, hey, Jimmy, look, you know what? Get off him.
Enough.
Like your friend. And these are three police officers. Like, you know, oh, he's okay. If he wasn't okay, he wouldn't be able to talk or something like that. One of the guys said, I mean, it's a freaking joke.
Right. The question though is, Russ, for me, so it's well documented now, right? About these guys. The question is, why did that happen? How does that get to that point that happened? And what are we going to do about that? Okay. The looting and the rioting is a whole different issue. So now you've got this individual episode here. You can't paint cops with that same brush. You know, I've heard some policemen come on and
But it's not an individual episode. It's gone on.
Well, this guy's mental, Russ. But he's mental.
Yeah, but it's gone on. I mean, come on. In the last, four weeks, we've had four of these. The guy who's jogging gets shot.
Well, just to finish, what I was going to say is, Do they, you know, it's a high stress job. Do they have to vet these guys different, Russ? Do they have to, like, guys are getting in here. How is a guy like this or those other incidents you brought up, how are those people slipping through the cracks?
In sports, there's penalties. So when somebody's a really bad actor, he gets suspended. He doesn't, you know, in the old days in hockey, our buddy Sammy Semenko,
yeah,
he'd get fined for curfews and this and that. And then at the end of the year, Slats would give him the money back because he didn't make a lot of money, right?
Right.
So he'd give him the money back. And then they said if teams did that, if they were caught giving back fines to players, they would be fined $1 million. Well, guess what? The teams quit paying back the fines
right.
that the players had to pay. So what they need to do is they need to quit protecting their players, meaning the police officers, and they need to weed out the bad guys. My two uncles worked in the RCMP in Canada. Uh-huh. They have many, many great stories. We just lost one of them, passed away in Edmonton, Brian Carver, great, right. great guy. And he had many, many good stories. But you can't have bad people working for you. You definitely can't have bad people protecting and serving that
public servants, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And
teachers,
so,
cops, yeah, right, right.
This guy had 17 or 18, what do you call it?
Violations.
Violations. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, one or two.
Right.
But there has to be, within their own system, if somebody's bad and they know it, they got to get rid of them. It's like the priests, the Catholic Church, they kept freaking taking one pedophile and moving him to another freaking church
right.
and another church and another church. And then eventually somebody, a bunch of people who were molested said, I was molested, and then boom, 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 boom. And then here you go, you know, people are getting outed for what they did. And so I think the bad cops, they just, you know what? If you're bad, doesn't matter if you're a cop, if you're freaking bad at whatever and you have violations, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Right, right. And unfortunately, it happens after the incident. You know, I know there's like Bertuzzi, when you look at, because I remember covering this story. I was in radio when that happened. And I know you have different takes about it because of the code and hockey and stuff. But he went sort of crazy, you know. And when they looked at it after, they looked into his history of Bertuzzi with this anger that he had. And they found two or three different incidences where this guy snapped when he was in junior. You know, and there was a history of this from that guy. I think about that now. And so you're right, you know, they got to do a little more here about, okay, let's get the rap sheet here. You know, let's find out about this. And they got to have a three strike rule with these cops or something, you know, something like that. On a different note, Russ, or not different note, but on the same note, I thought of, you know, this craziness and this chaos and this anarchy that's going on with this thing, and there's you can't defend it. You know, you can't. How are we going to do it? If you look at the Me Too movement, Russ, animal rights movement, bullying, even the environment. You know, that everyone's been protesting against mental illness, right, which is close to your heart. Mental is aside a little bit, but those movements, Russ, have all been peaceful movements. You know, with you know, women in the Me Too thing, as you know, it's well documented what's happened in the movie industry with Epstein and the other guy, that these women came forward, you know, peacefully, right? And in a show of strength. And now we've got this really big awareness about it. You know, animal rights, right? People were abusing animals. And remember the quarterback for Philly when he was, had the dog.
Yeah, dog fighting, yeah.
And now there's less of it going on, you know. And you wonder if they can take a page out of some of these other issues, even the environment. You know, there was some protests about it, but they're nonviolent. You know, and now you got this high awareness about global warming and all this other stuff. And I wonder if the social injustice movement has to begin to look at that and go, look, at we've got to look at this a different way. You know, how to combat it. And So
we've seen some beautiful pictures of people like Cliff Ronning. Son had his arm around another boy who happened to be black, and he said in his post, not all black people are criminals and not all white people are racist. And he's got his son, like 5 years old, you know, hugging his best buddy. And it was a beautiful caption of two little kids.
Right.
And right. I think that, you know, with police, it's an ego thing. You know, it's a fame thing, right? Where you all of a sudden have power. So if you're power hungry and you get into that job and you're like, okay, I've been bullied my whole life and now I'm going to be the bully. That's right. Not the police officer you want.
Right. So how do you find that out about the guy though, Russ? Right.
Well, that's the point, then they have to just, I don't know. I don't know how you, but this guy had 17 freaking infractions. So after one, you think they would have went, okay, he did here. This. Yeah. Let's keep a, okay, after two, okay, you know, now we might have a problem. 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, come on, 17?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who gets 17? Like, you don't get 17 of the... You know, if you were playing in the NHL and you got 17 freaking spearing penalties, there'd be a problem.
Right, right. Well, you this know, will bring this is what they'll look at. You know, that's why it's good to talk about. It's good to find this out. It's completely sad, even more sad, that when you do look at the history of this guy, you know, who committed the offense, and then going, hey, don't tell me. You know, this isn't like not seeing it coming here. You know, unfortunately, like a lot of suicides, right? You just don't see it coming, right? You don't see it coming. And people now are out talking about mental illness. But this thing, you can see it coming. You can see it percolating here. It's going to bubble. It's going to boil over, you know, and it did. And
when they're dropping off pallets of bricks on the street corners of downtown LA and Santa Monica and wherever else, and now in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in Chicago and Atlanta. I mean, how do they not know, with all the surveillance, how do they not know what truck did that? Because they're like 4x4. Nobody's picking those up. They got to have a forklift. How do they not track the guy who dropped it off? Where did you buy it? And who paid for it?
Right, right.
I'm not a cop. Like, oh my God, that seems so freaking simple. And then bust that person, like start there.
Right.
It's like, we found a boatload of drugs. Okay, whose boat is it?
Right, right.
Who loaded it? Right. And then go backwards. I mean, they should be able to, broad daylight, they're dropping off freaking pallets of bricks at street corners in cities across the United States. Who's doing it? And then you'll find out who's orchestrating this whole freaking...
Well, it's systemic, right? It's such a big problem. It's like the drug issue, right? It's like, you know, I used to buy my Coke, right, from a guy, and I used to think to myself, well, all they got to do is find out where he bought his Coke.
Yeah.
And then find out where that guy got his Coke, and then it's going to lead you down to... And then they go, fine, here it is. It's in South America, okay? And it's you know,
you were trying to figure it out so you could get it cheaper.
I was trying to make a deal. So it's, you know, but it's so big, right? It's like the word white supremacist is not an uncommon term. And it's today, right? And you got all these underground clandestine freaking, you know, groups of people that are still freaks of nature that they're doing this. And,
yeah.
Anyway, Russ, well said. You know, you said a lot today, and you're the barometer for this thing, because you are your family is black, and I thought you did a fantastic job at sort of dealing with this, and I'm glad we did. I'm glad we did. You know, I think out of respect, sometimes too, we got to turn the humor volume down a little bit and pay some respect to this thing, and I believe we did, and you're to be commended how you handled it, Russ. So
well, hopefully we can settle this thing down and get back to, we can let people walk the streets freely again, and we can at the same time try to figure out this whole, you know, this injustice that's going on across our country, and start treating people. You know what? If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. You should be. I don't care what color skin you are, you'd be treated like one. But don't treat somebody who has different color skin than ours, white, as a criminal without knowing whether they are or they aren't.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's gone on too long, and it's got to end.
Well, maybe this will help. You know, maybe this will help. And unfortunately, you know, it's rampant right now. So, well done, Russ. We'll be back again next week with another show, and hopefully the news will be much better. God, the world's a mess, eh? Right now.
Yeah, right now it sucks.
It sucks. And you're gonna relax, Rusty. Enjoy yourself. You deserve some time off. No, you don't.
I'm gonna go for dinner with Chaser.
There you go. Our favorite interview.
Yeah.
Well, next to the great.
I won't tell him that.
Enjoy yourself, Rusty.
Thanks, pal.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortinel in LA. A new episode every Tuesday morning on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.